Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel from Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. My opening statements, please bear with me as they're repetitive. Probably use them every year when I preach on Ascension Day. And since we celebrated Ascension on Thursday, we are doing it again today. I think our plans are for next year that we will have Ascension Day only on Thursday, and on Sunday we'll do the seventh Sunday of Easter. But discussions are still being had. Anyways, Ascension Day is also known as Holy Thursday. In the early church, it is the third and sad to say today, most forgotten of the three great festivals of the church year. The three being the Nativity or Christmas, Easter, that would include Good Friday, Maundy Thursday through Easter, and then the Day of the Ascension. These are known as the three great feasts of the Lord's Godhead. And so I repeat that because, well, repetition is the mother of all learning. And we only go over it once a year, so I thought I would do it again. At Christmas time, we of course commemorate our Lord's coming to earth. At Easter, we commemorate his return to life as he is conqueror over sin, death, and the devil. And on Ascension Day, we commemorate his triumphant return to the glory as the climax of his earthly life of our Lord comes. And he is now at the right hand of the Father, thanks be to God, interceding on our behalf. I know that we know this, and I know that I've repeated it many times, and yet it's still important for us to learn and know. In fact, Ascension Day in Germany is still considered a national holiday. Here in the United States, it's kind of just okay. But Ascension Day, you see, is all about hope. And one of the struggles we have with the word hope is it has become, in our vernacular, hope means to wish for something. I hope I'll be there tomorrow, right? I wish that that would come. But in a Christian understanding of hope, the biblical understanding of hope is not a wish. It's a knowledge of the fact that becomes then that basis in which our hope and our peace all reside. And so Ascension Day is all about hope because, you see, it finally finishes off for us how Christ has revealed himself to us outside of his within the Scriptures. For you see, if Jesus is not born of a virgin, if he doesn't die on the cross as promised, prophesied, and rise again on the third day, and doesn't ascend into heaven, Christianity has a major problem. These are not stories or myths. These have to be facts. And so with Ascension Day, the issue that comes is if Jesus doesn't ascend and doesn't ascend bodily, not just a spiritual ascension, as our Jehovah Witnesses who will knock on your doors will say, but a physical ascension, body and soul, true God and true man ascending into heaven, then we've got a problem. Either his body's here on earth, which then means there's question to whether he rose again to begin with, or he died at a later date, which means he wasn't the sinless Son of God, and then he didn't bear our sins on the cross, and some of those silly and some of those crazy ideas about him passing out on the cross and reviving himself in the tomb, in the cool of the tomb, that some church leaders might want to teach in more liberal churches might have some sway. Granted, there's that whole piercing of the pericardium sac that kind of means you're dead, but don't let that get in the way of their stories. Or Jesus is still here on earth. Physically. And if he's still here on earth, you shouldn't be listening to me today. We should all be looking for him. He's a much better teacher. You see, this is what the ascension means. And it not only gives us this proof of Christ, but then it also assures us of, as Christians, of what will happen for us. Because we who have been joined to Christ, who have been granted the gift of the Holy Spirit, not on Pentecost like the disciples with tongues of flames above our head, but at the font, in the hearing of the Word, and the work of the Holy Spirit in the reception of the Lord's Supper, we have been grafted into the true vine, and when we're joined to the true vine, we will be where the true vine is. And that means that we, as we sang today, will go up just as He did through the endless ranks of angels. But we still have doubts. We still have frustrations. That's okay. Jesus was the one who returned to heaven, not us. Just look at the disciples. Luke spans 40 days of confusion and fear and doubt just in a few verses in his gospel. Remember the context? Jesus began speaking to the disciples in the upper room, and it ends with him on the Mount of Olives, ascending before their very eyes and them gawking. Jesus had greeted the disciples, though, in that upper room with the very thing we are greeted with: peace to you. It is His peace that He offers you in the forgiveness of our sins. And to show them and us who see now through the ears, not the eyes any longer, He shows them His hands and His side, and He even eats in their midst to remove all doubts. Today we see through the ears of faith those same nail-scarred hands lifted up to bless the disciples, and we join them as witnesses, as our ears serve as the organ of faith to see and to receive Jesus' blessing. And so we rejoice in the eternal peace that awaits us all as we too will rise through endless ranks of angels with our Lord. Today our Lord reminds us that as He did His disciples, that we are then His witnesses. Now that's become a word that gets really misused. I don't know about you, but when Jesus tells the disciples to be witnesses, He's telling them that they are going to share all things that He has done. He says, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And they are. "Or thus it is written, Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in His name into all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Witnesses tell what Jesus has done. The struggle that has happened with witnessing, as it's become more of a corporate bottle in churches, is we spend all our time talking about how Jesus makes us feel instead of talking about what Jesus has done. I thanks be to God that I have feelings and you have feelings, and I'm sure when we hear the forgiveness of our sins, it can't help but invoke feelings, but our faith is not based on those. Our faith is based on the facts of Jesus Christ, His death, and His resurrection. And so, while it is fine to have feelings, it is wrong to point somebody to your feelings for proof of your faith. Point them to the facts. Somebody says, "I don't feel forgiven." Say, "Do you believe that Jesus died or didn't He? Did He pay for your sins or didn't He?" It's really that simple. And if He died for your sins and rose for your salvation, your sins and my sins are forgiven, whether you feel it or not. I know it doesn't always feel good to hear that, because it then makes us feel a little less important. But again, put your feelings on the back burner and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are to be witnesses of Him, not of us. Just think of all that our eyes through our ears have seen since Christmas this year. Jesus willingly left His Father's throne to humble Himself and be born of a virgin, carrying out the Father's will, to be laid in a crude manger in Bethlehem, to flee like a common criminal from a madman, a tyrant named Herod the Great, in fear that he would kill the child because he thought it was a threat to his position of authority. He worked as a carpenter under his earthly stepfather and obeyed his parents, even though he is the one who brought them into creation. Jesus experienced being rejected by his own, being treated with misunderstanding and lovelessness at the hands of the very people who should have been welcoming him. And finally, he suffered the physical and mental anguish of the passion from Gethsemane to Golgotha. Why all this? Well, it's simple. It almost sounds too simple. It's because God loves us. That's why all this. Because he knew and loves each one of us before the very foundation of the world, before we were ever a twinkle in our parents' eye, before we were ever conceived in our mother's wombs. So Jesus willingly suffered all this to purchase our freedom, to free us from fear, to free us from sin, to free us from the power of the devil. As Jesus has redeemed all who fell in Adam's fall, and that includes you and me. Now, I got off into this tangent the last two services, so you're going to get it too. But I think sometimes when we think about the passion of Jesus, we think about it, well, sure, he got through it because he's God. Jesus humiliates himself and doesn't use his divine authority and power at all times. In fact, when he does use his divine authority and power throughout the Gospels, it's only to the glory of the Father. It's never to the glory of Jesus. To fulfill the Father's plan. And so when Jesus is being tempted, as Paul says, tempted in every way as we are, yet remained without sin, that's a true man doing that. He had the ability that we don't, because he was born without sin, to remain sinless. But he still had to go through all the temptations that we do as truly fleshed, infleshed man, and yet remained without sin. I don't want us to overlook that fact, because Christ's coming redeems body and soul. It restores both. And that is what rises into heaven, that ascends into heaven. It's not just some manifestation of something. He has redeemed us fully. We are part of his original good creation, and that good order is being restored in him. It won't fully be restored until the last day, but God be praised, it will be in the new heavens and the new earth. And so today we are gathered, as we do, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, not just because that's a nice saying before we take Lord's Supper, but because that's what we're doing. We gather with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven as they receive a full taste of the feast that is to come. We receive a foretaste of that feast. As we take in with and under the bread and the wine, the very body and blood of Jesus, that thing that is given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, that thing that joins us to the life-giving vine, that assures us that we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven, that eternal life is ours. And so we can join our voices with angels and archangels and all that company in giving the Father his praise and love, even though our love often isn't very much love and our praise isn't that praiseful. God still loves us, still forgives us, still restores us. Think about it. When we confess our sins, Jesus has already prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and died burying them. And 3 days later rose, declaring them forgiven. When we struggle in this life, Jesus assures us, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. He cried out in despair from the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken you? So that you and I need never cry out in this despair, thinking we have been abandoned by God. When we face death, he has not only been there and done it, he rose again on the third day so that we have the sure hope, the confidence of knowing that all who die in Christ will rise again to new life, that it is simply passing right through the valley of the shadow of death and out the other side to eternal life. For this good shepherd will lead us all the way. You see, that's why we can sing so triumphantly today, up through endless ranks of angels. Because that's what's going to happen for each and every one of us. For we will be with Christ, and we will be before Christ and His throne, and we will praise the Lord and have peace that we do not have now. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.